Welcome to Rural EdMed. I am your host, Serena Wilson, an acute care nurse practitioner, and I will be speaking on lateral violence. Janice was a new nurse in the beginning. She didn't know a lot about nursing, but she had a passion for helping people, and she was genuinely interested in how the body worked and what could go wrong. In school, she never doubted herself. She was always the one with the perfect story for how she became interested in nursing. She knew just enough to know that she didn't yet know anything. She was nervous about her first job, but knew she would make a fine nurse someday. Janice worried that she would miss something important in the beginning. She made lists and tried to create a daily routine that would help her to address everything. She didn't always know how to prioritize at the start of things. She was first trying to figure out how to keep up with everything. One time, her patient coded and had to be moved to the ICU. She stopped the nurses as they went to roll the patient upstairs so she could empty the Foley bag. The code was over, the patient now seemed stable, and she knew she would need to add up eyes and O's before the transfer. The other nurses looked at her with disdain. They couldn't believe that a Foley was her priority right now. That story went on to be a famous story among many of the nurses and illustrated how Janice was not really cut out to be a nurse. Janice knew she was not well liked amongst her nursing colleagues. At first, this was tolerable because she was well liked by her patients. She began to try to avoid the other nurses and spent all of her spare time with her patients, teaching, meeting basic needs, and sometimes just listening while they talked about their fears or everyday stressors. Of course her patients loved her. She was never in a rush with them. Each patient always felt like they were Janice's priority, and there was no limit to the lengths she would go to help them. Eventually, Janice's avoidance of coworkers started to lead to unavailability for all of the unexpected things that come up, like answering call lights or helping other nurses who were falling behind. When an unexpected job came up, Janice would get behind because she was not caught up with her other work. She spent too much time spreading out her work over the course of each shift in order to avoid other nurses, so any addition in her workload became very difficult. It only seemed to cause a problem if the unexpected work came up at the end of her shift. At the beginning, she would just adjust accordingly. Unfortunately, now the other nurses had some new stories to tell about Janice. Not only was she completely incompetent, but also lazy. They could never find her when she was needed. They wondered where she always snuck off to. They eventually decided amongst themselves that she was not deserving of their help, even when she had a rough assignment or a difficult patient load. They refused to answer her call bells or help her with medication she was late with. The charge nurse also joined in on all of this. When Janice seemed to fail to notice the other nurse's actions, Janice started to get more and more difficult patient assignments. She would get the confused or combative patients, those withdrawing from alcohol, and those with severe dementia. No matter how difficult her patient load, very rarely would anyone offer to help her. And the more frequently she fell behind or didn't finish all of her work by the end of the shift, the more people would talk. Eventually, Janice started to doubt that she was cut out for nursing. When her patients started failing to get adequate care, she internalized the comments from the nurses around her. Every day she came to work, she felt like crying. Most days she left work, she did cry. There became no way for her to succeed. Because Janice didn't know what had happened, didn't understand why she was so suddenly incapable of providing even basic nursing care, she didn't just quit her job, she left the field of nursing. And every person thereafter that asked her opinion on a career in nursing, she told them horror stories. There were other people in her life that had once considered the field of nursing who took other jobs in other fields. When Janice left the hospital where she was employed, she left her unit short-staffed, and the overworked nurses sometimes looked to other new nurses, whom they perceived as lazy or incompetent, to take out their frustrations at unrealistic patient loads, repeating the cycle. Janice works here at your hospital. She is not one nurse. Some Janices have already quit, and many more are still here. I've witnessed personally how Janice is suffering here. She is not malicious, lazy, or incompetent. She is trying to create a work life that she can tolerate and not cry over every night. She doesn't know how to fit in or make you like her. Maybe you are Janice. Maybe you were Janice, and after this rite of passage, you are handing down your status of Janice to another nurse. The aggressor nurses also are not malicious, lazy, or incompetent. There's a lack of empathy, compassion, and understanding. There's a long-time culture of nurses eating their young. There are a lot of theories out there for why it occurs, and a lot of research on the topic, but we still haven't figured out how to stop it. Its name is lateral violence. A 2014 study on lateral violence in nursing found that 93% of all nurses had witnessed or experienced it at some point in their careers. Those on the receiving end are more likely to be depressed, suffer insomnia, symptoms of PTSD, more frequent physical illness, and to leave jobs and even the field of nursing. The loss of nurses actually potentiates the low productivity and understaffing that is one of the causes of the behavior. It also potentiates the nursing shortage. It is often so commonplace as to be considered normal or accepted within the nursing culture. It costs organizations large amounts of money, not only from a productivity standpoint, but also costs in replacing and training new nurses when these nurses leave. The usual perpetrators are more experienced nurses, those with seniority at an institution, and nurses in positions of power, such as charge nurse, nurse managers, and directors. This makes reporting nearly impossible. There are many types of lateral violence. I want to name a few. I didn't make these up. I took them word for word from a 2014 article on lateral violence in nursing. Nonverbal cues, such as raising eyebrows, rolling eyes, or making faces in reply to a question. Snide, rude, and demeaning comments. Abrupt responses to honest questions. Actions that undermine the victim's ability to perform in the healthcare setting. Refusing or continually being too busy to help during difficult care issues. Withholding information. This information can be about a patient or a procedure. Purposely sabotaging. This serves to set up the other nurse for negative situations. Nursing cliques. Excluding other staff members. Scapegoating. Blaming negative outcomes on one identified nurse. Failure to resolve conflicts directly. Complaining to others about a person but not speaking directly to that person. Broken confidences and not respecting privacy. Gossiping. It often starts with an actual event that is perceived as negative about the victim of lateral violence. It can be an actual deficiency. Others who join in the perpetration of lateral violence may feel as if their patient loads have increased or that they are being forced to pick up the slack to make up for the lack of work done by the victim. Their increased workloads and subsequent frustrations lead to the continuation of the cycle of violence. The breakdown of teamwork erodes the work environment, patient care, and morale. Nurses from both sides of the violence become distrustful and angry, ensuring that no real communication or solution ever occurs. There becomes a culture of blame. My question to all of you is, first, do you see any of this happening? And second, to stop it, could we all give each other a do-over? Because that's what it would take. We would all have to let go of what such and such did and how we each got screwed over. We would have to agree that there was more going on than any one of us knew, and rather than trying to hash it out, letting it go and starting over with each other. And we would have to start over with a zero-tolerance policy for lateral violence. The one thing we probably should hash out is why it is occurring. There are a number of theories about why lateral violence is so prevalent in nursing. I don't know which one of them is true, if any of them. Maybe it's different reasons for different people. I think a couple are worth mentioning. The first is about nurses as the underdog. I want to tell you a little bit about where nurses came from. In very early times, the females of a sick person's family cared for the ill. If the person had no female family to care for them, then the nuns of their church would step in to do the job. The Christian church played a huge role for many years in the caring for the sick. Between 1500 and 1800, also known as the Dark Period of Nursing, King Henry VIII abolished monasteries and seized church lands. He cut completely with the Christian church when they wouldn't approve of his divorce, because any woman of means was expected to stay home and care for her own family. Nursing fell to the very poor females who were forced to take work outside of their homes. Often it was a side job of prostitutes, drunks, and prisoners. Nurses were the lowest class of society. They were expected to drink alcohol on the job to prevent withdrawal and thought nothing of offering their prostitution services to patients with enough money and ability. Nurses were in charge of housekeeping and laundry in addition. They often slept at the hospitals within hearing range of their patients and remained on duty for days at a time. It was not uncommon for patients to be taken advantage of or stole from by the nurses who cared for them. It wasn't until the 19th and 20th centuries that Florence Nightingale entered the scene. Nightingale was a highly educated female from a very wealthy and prominent family. She scandalized that family by entering the field of nursing, but she also changed the face of nursing. Now I want you to consider all this for a moment. How we went from whores and drunks to an actual profession, one of the most highly trusted professions in the world. Physicians and administrators did not bring us to this place. In fact, most of the world has resisted us every step of the way. Physicians wanted submissive handmaidens. The public wanted a doctor, maybe a housekeeper. It wasn't until just recently that it became unacceptable for a doctor to berate and belittle you. Nurses are the first to get cut when finances are tough. Nurses are the end of the line for everything. They are supposed to make sure that physicians order certain things, that patients give high satisfaction scores and sign up for the patient portal, and they are often still asked to do housekeeping and laundry and babysitting. They are asked to be selfless, to follow orders, to not make waves. Nursing is often not what we expected when we get there. There is a dichotomy between our desire to help people and what we actually spend all of our time as a nurse doing. The underdog theory is about turning our frustrations inward, maybe blaming the nursing profession itself for not being more, for making the rest of the world unsupportive or unknowledgeable about our roles. Maybe it is just hating the nursing profession, and by extension, our fellow nurses. Think for a moment about what we do with our frustrations in this field. Can we harness this for change? A second popular theory talks of nurses as the walking wounded. It is based on the premise that a certain type of person is attracted to the field of nursing. These people have usually experienced trauma in their own lives and want to use these experiences to help others. To use these experiences, they first have to recognize them and deal with them. They have to move from the walking wounded to the wounded healer. Those who have not yet undergone this transformation actually end up hurting their patients and their coworkers. This lack of personal healing manifests as anger, judgment, and self-loathing, rather than the intended ability to reserve judgment and guide patients through similar difficulties. Another theory relates that the nursing profession in particular is set up to encourage the behavior of lateral violence. This is inherent in the way work is divided and passed on. If the last shift didn't get to it, it is added to the next shift's duties, which often breeds resentment. Nurses are getting more and more duties, often not even nursing related. They do housekeeping and laundry, which in itself can devalue the nurse. Nursing is the first target for financial cutbacks. Nurses can be overworked. Many nurses work hours and hours of overtime with heavy workloads. Their work sets them up for exhaustion and frustration. Finally is the idea that nurses are not taught adequate skills. While schooling programs focus on tasks and pathophysiology, They fail to teach things like interpersonal and leadership skills. Nurses aren't taught or conditioned to openly discuss difficult issues. They are often encouraged to avoid major conflict and to follow orders. Job performance evaluations are focused on clinical skills and often ignore bullying behavior. Nurses are also put into leadership roles, such as charge nurse and nurse manager, without adequate training or guidance. Even managers are often marginalized and under-supported by their institutions. This, in turn, can set them up to be perpetrators of bullying in the workplace. There can be intense pressures from administrators to keep nurses in line and cut costs, and intense pressures from below about heavy workloads, unfair assignments, and educational requirements. Lateral violence is specifically not legal in Canada, the United Kingdom, and Scandinavia. In 2006, the Joint Commission got involved and established standards for recognition and handling of these behaviors by nurse managers and people in administrative positions in the U.S., but there's still no law specifically addressing lateral violence here. Not only do we need to stop the re-victimization of current nurses, but also stop them from later becoming perpetrators of lateral violence themselves. The problem is, it has gone on so long that relationships are strained and motivation depleted. We need a new no-tolerance policy. No excuses for the perpetrators, while also understanding that the perpetrator probably was a victim at one point and may not be aware of the cycle. This behavior may have been the norm for his or her entire career, a rite of passage for all new people. We need to see that patient care and safety is not compromised when lateral violence is allowed to fester. Nurses are afraid to ask for help, and mistakes are made. Some nurses are unable to get help. Things do not get done. There's inadequate support. There's erosion of initiative and poor work performance. Suboptimal performance harms patients. I'm not here to tell you how to stop it. Of course, all these articles on lateral violence have suggestions. It takes a strong person to follow any one of them. It probably starts with zero tolerance. As strongly as I feel about this, not even I have zero tolerance. As vocal as I've been, I still have nurses turn to me on any given day and tell me that this nurse is lazy or this one is not very knowledgeable. I want to build each other up, but I get exhausted trying to respond to these comments day after day, so sometimes I make a non-committal noise and walk away. What about the victim of lateral violence? What do you say when she tearfully tells you how people treat him or her? It's a conversation to be had with the perpetrator, and yet how can I, with any good conscience, walk away? So I'm here trying to make sure that everyone knows that these comments are not victimless. We are hurting ourselves and our profession. Here are some suggestions I gathered from articles on lateral violence. Cognitive rehearsal. Cards with examples of lateral violence and steps to confront. Relaxation and then talking, confronting when calm. Expert consultant on the floor, or a champion, if you will, assigned for each shift. Having compassion, complimenting rather than complaining. Learn to value multiple qualities in individual nurses. Understand that others' values are not the same as yours. Team spirit, outside activities, celebrations, mentoring of new people. Name lateral violence when you see it. Support colleagues who are struggling with it. Offer a break, assistance, someone to talk to. Encourage respect for each other's ideas. My final words, this isn't the only place it happens. I too have been a victim. I was fresh off my orientation to the ICU as a new grad nurse. I had a patient with hypotension and very poor vascular access. We were running IV boluses into a foot IV. I called the physician in the middle of the night to request that a central line be placed. He told me to run a 2-liter bolus first, see if the blood pressure picked up. My charge nurse, and incidentally my recent preceptor, did not believe that I notified the physician of the situation. She just didn't believe he would wait to come in, I guess. There was some inappropriate yelling at the nurse's station, and then she informed me that she was taking over my patient. She went into the room. I watched his blood pressure tanking from the nurse's station monitors. Pretty soon, my patient or not, I couldn't wait outside the room anymore. When I entered, the charge nurse was nowhere to be found. The patient's foot IV was out and lying on the bedside table with a little wad of tape. The patient was unconscious and severely hypotensive. By some adrenaline-fueled miracle, I was able to get an AC IV in. I grabbed a whole pile of kits, couldn't see anything, so my plan was to shoot in the dark until I got something I could use. First try it was in, and I started him on pressors. I have no idea where the charge nurse went, but you know, she quit her job that morning. I almost lost my job that morning, not by choice. My start in the ICU was very rough. I was the first new grad. Most ICU nurses were thought all nurses needed to do their time on med-surg first, that new grads didn't belong there. And although ultimately successful, I hated nursing for years before I loved it. When I first went back to school after being a nurse, it was pre-med. I spent a lot of time thinking I wanted out of nursing for good. And just for a little measure of irony, many nurses do not think nurse practitioners, such as myself, belong in the acute care setting, unsupervised. I set myself up for the same situation all over again. But this time, I have a mission to kill lateral violence. And this time, I believe in myself. Maybe, hopefully, that changes everything.